बंदे रूप सनातन रघुजग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
हरे कृष्ण। 13 years तिर्यन्नग द्विज सरी स्पृह देव दैत्य मर्त्यादि परिचितं सदसद्विशेषं रूपं स्थविष्टमजते महदान्यनेकं नातः परं परमवेद्विनयत्र वादः। रीड द ट्रांसलेशन।
My dear Lord, O Supreme Unborn, I know that the different varieties of living entities such as animals, trees, birds, reptiles and demigods and human beings are spread throughout the universe, which is caused by the total material energy, and I know that they are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. But I never experienced the Supreme Form. I behold as I see you now. Now all kinds of methods of theorizing have come to an end.
So, Tiryan Nagad Dvija Sari Spruha Deva Daitya. Here, this 5-year-old boy Prahlad Maharaj is saying, within my limited experience, I came to know about different varieties of living entities. Animals, trees, Dvija, birds, Sari Spruha Deva, that is reptiles and demigods, human beings. So, such great I have seen so many species, I have heard about so many species that are spread throughout the universe. But this form that I am seeing now is beyond all of them. I have never seen this kind of form. I know about so many forms, but this form is really special. I have never seen this form before. So this I consider the supreme form. After seeing so many forms and hearing about so many forms, and after seeing your form now, I am convinced that this is the best form. So Dhruva Maharaj was given the realization that Krishna's form is the ultimate manifestation of the absolute truth, and that is the best form. He is all providing. Maya Radhavadam Sarvam Jagadavikta Murtina. Krishna spreads himself throughout the universe, but although everything is resting upon him, he is aloof. So, in his original pure state, the soul is a lover of Krishna and a servant of Krishna. He loves Krishna and he serves Krishna, but the service attitude and loving attitude were misdirected in this material world when that conditioned soul takes on different forms of Tiryan, Nriga, Naga, Dvija, Sarishpursa, all these forms, reptiles, mammals, human beings, demigods, demons. So in all these forms, the living entity is lost, right? So his service attitude is covered completely. The more he entangles himself in this matter, the more he is covering his innate service attitude. He has love for Krishna, he has service attitude towards Krishna, but that is covered by different layers of ignorance and material impressions and false ego. So the process of devotional service is to uncover the soul, is to remove all these coverings of ignorance and false ego on the soul and reveal the soul's innate potency to love Krishna and to serve Krishna unconditionally. That's the process of devotional service. So Dhruva Maharaj is able to appreciate the form of the Lord. Because even though the Lord manifests in front of a conditioned soul, the conditioned soul senses, his senses and his mind and his intelligence are not developed enough to appreciate that form. But someone who is cleansed of that material contamination can appreciate that form. So Dhruva Maharaj is given that ability to appreciate Krishna's form as the best of all forms. So even spiritualists are at the utmost engaged in the service of Virat Rupa, some people. They are unable to understand the ultimate form of the Lord. They worship voidism by meditation. So Dhruva Maharaj is now blessed by the Lord himself to appreciate the Lord's form. Even for us to appreciate the beauty of Krishna, even for us to appreciate the beauty of Bhagavatam or any spiritual paraphernalia that is connected to Krishna, we need blessings of Krishna. We need blessings of the devotees. Without his blessings, we cannot appreciate any spiritual thing. Senses are so dull. Matter, the covering of matter is so thick. It is very difficult for an ordinary person to penetrate through the layers of false ego and ignorance covering the conditioned soul and reach his heart and tell him you are a servant of Krishna. Because of these layers he cannot understand. The other day I was telling this, that now it is winter and then people cover themselves with sweaters and shawls and so many things to protect themselves from cold, chilling cold, especially January, December ending, like that. So the cold is too high and you are covering yourself with 10 shawls, monkey cap and all these mufflers. You want to just scratch your shoulder and already 10 layers of shawls are covering your body. If you scratch on the top, will it reach your shoulder and then relieve you from that itching sensation? No. You need to go inside and then scratch, right, whatever it is. You cannot scratch on the surface. Similarly, when several layers of false ego are covering the soul, and on top of it you tell Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is so beautiful, he is your Supreme Father, he is the controller, all this, that will not make sense to a conditioned soul. Because his soul is covered with layers of ignorance, layers of false ego. Right? One need not be surprised when someone is not listening to us when we inform him that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. That depends on how many layers that is covering. But some people are there. For example, the shawls are there. 10 shawls are there. But someone has really sharp nails or whatever he has worn, so he'll just press and then do like this something. Something will reach you. Right? All the 10 layers of shawls are there. Still, something will reach you. Some little relief will be there. Right. Similarly, depending on the spiritual advancement of a devotee who is informing a conditioned soul that you are a servant of Krishna, he will be transformed. It depends on one's own internal purity and it also depends on how much covering is there on the other person. If 10 layers are not there, only 5 layers are there, if you scratch it can reach. Right. But if 20 layers are there, even if you scratch it may not reach. Right? A pure devotee is needed to penetrate through all these coverings and inform, my dear sir, you are a servant of Krishna. Other people will get agitated. Right? Yeah, I'm servant of Krishna, I'm not servant, I'm master. Right? You can't, don't call me servant. You know, I have so many servants in my home. I'm the boss of so and so company. I have so many employees there. So people cannot digest this conception of being a servant, even of God also. They can digest easily that I am God. Although they undergo so many physical problems, mental problems, intellectual problems, financial problems, relationship problems, etc. They can conveniently believe that they are God. Some people believe like that. But not many will believe that I am a servant of God. That's little vague idea for most conditioned souls. So Dhruva Maharaj is realizing the supreme form of the Lord. By bhakti, bhaktyamam abhijanati. It would not have been possible for an ignorant child to appreciate the supreme form of the Lord had he not been blessed by the Lord who had touched his conch shell to Dhruva's forehead. So, ordinarily it is not possible to appreciate Krishna's form because of ignorance and all this. But by Lord's blessings everything is possible. So we need to bring people in contact with Lord's blessings by giving them whatever prasad, darshan, mercy in various forms. So, association of devotees frees one from unholy association. Here Narada Muni associated, Narada Muni gave his association to Dhruva Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj was eventually freed of his material ambitions. Now he is able to understand Krishna's form and now he is appreciating the Lord as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. 14th verse.
Kalpanta etadakhilam jathareṇa grihṇin Svete puman sadruganananta sukhastadanke Yanna bhisindhur hatanchana loka padma Garbhedyuman bhagavate pranatosmitasmai.
My dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, dissolves everything manifested within the universe into his belly. He lies down on the lap of Sheshanaga. From his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower on a stem, and on that lotus, Lord Brahma is created. I can understand that you are the same Supreme Godhead. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Dhruva is glorifying the Lord's form as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, from whose navel lotus, universal lotus sprouts, and on that lotus Brahmaji takes birth.
Yannabhi Sindhu Ruha Kanchana Loka Padma Garbhe Jiman Bhagavate Pranatosmi Tasmai.
So from your lotus navel, lotus sprouts. And Brahmaji sometimes is described to be the son of Lakshmi also.
Janudvaya jalajalo chanaya jananya lakshmyakhilasya suravanditaya vidhatu.
So Mother Lakshmi is considered the mother of Brahma not because she gave birth to Brahma, but she happens to be the wife of the father of Brahma. So father's wife is mother. So thus Lakshmi becomes the mother of Brahmaji. But without the assistance of Lakshmi, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu gave birth to Brahmaji. Right? So, Prabhupada writes that non-devotees cannot understand these different forms of Vishnu. And they consider Shastric statements to be allegorical or stories or mythology like that. The reasons are given because of their inexperience of the Absolute Truth and their reluctance to accept authority. First, they themselves have no experience. Second, if an experienced person comes and informs him, they are reluctant to hear. So how will you get? They don't want to switch on their light inside the house. They don't want to open doors also so that unlight can come inside. They can perpetually be in darkness. So that is the reason why they cannot believe in the Lord's forms. They want to believe Shastras also. Shastra, they'll close their ears. So how will they be updated about the facts? So Dhruvamara's understanding of the Lord is complete. So this form of the Lord, which is present in front of Dhruva, is said to be Kshiraja Sai Vishnu. So he is seeing one form of Vishnu, he is understanding the other forms of Vishnu. He is seeing Kshiraja Sai Vishnu. And just now he described Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And in the beginning of his prayers he described Karanodaka Sai Vishnu also. Right, Mahatattva is coming from you, whole universe is manifesting by your energies, all that he mentioned, right? So, by understanding one form, by coming in contact with one form of the Lord, other forms are also revealed. Yashaika nishvisita kala matavalam bhajivanti loma vilaja jagadandanathaha. So, Mahavishnu's knowledge is also revealed to him, just by one touch of the conscience of the Lord. So, that is the difference between grace and speculation. If you speculate, by seeing one form of Vishnu, you start speculating what could be the other forms of Vishnu. You may not get. But if one form of Vishnu is graceful towards you, he is merciful towards you, you can understand all other forms of Vishnu. So, our advancement depends on grace, not on speculation. And for that grace, we may have to do some endeavor. So, endeavor and grace. Parishrama and Kripa. Not speculation. So unless one comes in contact with the devotee, it is not possible to understand the transcendental form of spiritual world and its transcendental activities. So Dhruva Maharaj had the grace of Narada Muni, and because of receiving the grace of Narada Muni, he is able to receive the grace of Narayana also. of Vishnu also, right? So, atheistic argument might be that, might be against the supremacy of the Lord. If God appears and disappears, if God sleeps and wakes up, then what is the difference between the God and the living entity? Right, some people may say. So Dhruva Maharaj could also address that point. He can clearly understand the Jiva Tattva and Ishvara Tattva or Vishnu Tattva. So that he explains in the 15th verse. He very systematically brings out the differences between the Lord and the living entity. Tam nitya mukta parishuddha vibuddha atmayam kutastha adi purusho bhagavam stiradhishaham yabuddhyavasthitamakhanditaya svadrishtya drashtasthithavadhimakho vyatirikta asse tvam nitya mukta parishuddha vibuddha atma. Within this he has given 4 or 5 differences between the Lord and the living entity. Nitya mukta, my dear Lord, you are nitya mukta, you are eternally liberated, you are never conditioned by anything. But the living entity is conditioned in this world, and he will be liberated only by the Lord's mercy. Right? Now, parishuddha, next word is parishuddha. Krishna is completely pure, but conditioned soul is contaminated. He is pure within, but he can be covered with a lot of impurity. He is like a pure 24 karat golden ring. But because he fell into the gutter, fell into the drainage, Suez canal of the material world, the shine of the golden ring is covered by the passing Suez. So his original glory is not revealed. Process of bhakti is to pick up that golden ring from that Suez canal and wash it nicely, so that its shine will come out again. So gold will not lose its qualities just by falling into some dirt or sewage. But its shine is covered, it's unmanifest. Similarly, soul's eternal love for Krishna and Sachidananda form and its innate spiritual qualities will not be lost, but they are not manifested. Bank balance is there. But if you forget the password or account or PIN number or something like that, you may not be able to access it like that. The soul's true glory is not revealed in the conditioned state, although it is not lost in the conditioned state. Right? So, but Lord, whether he is in the material world or in the spiritual world, whichever planet he may be, he is always pure. The material qualities cannot cover the Lord at any point of time. But the soul's spiritual qualities can be covered by matter at some point of time. So, what is that verse in the first canto? Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi nayujyate sadatmasthair yatha buddhihi tadashreyah. This is the divinity of the Lord. Although he is in touch with matter, although he is doing material creation, maintenance of the material world, destruction of the material world, so many dealings with matter and material world, still, tad gunaihi na yujyate, he is not entangled by the qualities of matter. Yatha buddhihi tadashrayah. One who has taken shelter of the Lord also are like this. So that is the second word, parishuddha. Tvam nitya mukta parishuddha. Third is vibuddha. Lord is omniscient. But the living entity is not omniscient. He has very little knowledge. Atma, Lord is the supreme soul. But the conditioned soul is that he has a material bodily covering. You can see Bhagavad Subodhani. So all these qualities are listed down. So this is a combination of Chakravartipad and Prabhupada. So the same verse can refer to both of them. Kutastha, Lord is changeless. And the conditioned soul may take many forms. He is not Kutastha. Lord is Adi Purusha, original personality, and is the cause. Adi means cause, the origin of everything. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? Aham Adirhi Devana Maharshinam Jasarvasaha Namya Vidhu Sarganaha Prabhavana Maharshayaha. So, he is the Adi, origin of everything. But the conditioned soul is not the origin of anything. Right? He's origin of only his entanglement. Then Bhagavams means Lord has six opulences. But conditioned soul, without any good qualities. Tridhishaha. Tridhishaha means Lord is the master of three modes. In the third canto also the word Tridhisha comes. And Lord Chaitanya in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami elaborates on this word Tridhisha in various ways. Tridhisha means he is the master of three modes, master of threes. So master of three worlds, master of three Purusha incarnations, master of three Gunavataras, master of three energies, master of three pairs of opulences. So like that, Lord is the master of so many threes. That's why it's called Tridhisha. But Tridhisha can mean, in the case of conditioned soul, as he is controlled by three modes. Right? So the three modes boss over the conditioned soul. In that sense, he is Tridhisha, or he is opposite of Tridhisha. Buddhi avasthitam means Lord is always stable in his intelligence. Buddhi avasthitam. But the quality of conditioned soul is that his intelligence is subject to conditions of waking, sleeping and dreaming. He is not in Turiya stage. He is Jagras, Sapna and Sushupti. In these three stages only he is hovering. Then next, akhanditaya svadrishtya drashta. Lord is the constant seer through his chit shakti. Akhanditaya, akhanditaya means no one can obstruct Krishna's vision. But conditioned soul has disrupted vision. Khanditaya vision he has, drishti. So he has disrupted vision because his intelligence undergoes waking, sleeping and dreaming. Then sthitao. Sthitao means Lord is situated in the action of maintaining the universe. And conditioned soul cannot even maintain himself. He is dependent on various factors for his own personal maintenance. Adhimakha. Lord is the enjoyer of sacrifices. And the conditioned soul is dependent on the sacrifices. Like that, the difference is between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Jivas is highlighted in this verse. So, Dhruva Maharaj is glorifying the qualities of the Lord. So, the counterpart of those qualities or the opposite of those qualities are present in a conditioned soul. Right? As Acharyas are nicely explaining. Next, 16th verse. Yasmin viruddha gatayo yanisham patanti. Vidyadayo vivhashatya anupra. Vividha shaktaya anupurvyat tad brahma vishwa bhavame kamanantam adyam ananda matram avikaram aham prapadye. So these are the qualities of Brahman. Yasmin viruddha gatayo hinisham patanti. So viruddha gatayaha means contrary natures. So Lord's energies, vividha shaktaya, Lord's energies have some contrary natures. They sometimes act in a contradictory manner. One energy will cause creation, another energy may cause destruction also. Same energy, origin of the same, both energies is same Lord. Right? He can cause destruction also, he can cause creation also. Vishwabhavam, he is the cause of material creation. Ekam, he is one. Anantam, unlimited. Adyam, original. Anandamatram, blissful. Avikaram, changeless. So these are all various energies of the Lord. And these are considered Lord's impersonal manifestations. Thus, these are the qualities of Brahman. So these are all nothing, many of them are not personal. Right? So the shaktis that are contrary in nature are knowledge and ignorance. Vidya shakti, avidya shakti, both are coming from the Lord only. They have contradictory natures. Creation and destruction. Srishti and pralaya, both are coming from the Lord only, but they have contrary natures. Being born and not being born, contrary. Inactive and full of pastimes. Neutral atmaram and being affectionate to devotees. These are various qualities that the Lord exhibits, contradictory qualities. So, Sukadipad writes that seeing the city from a distant place and coming closer and entering the city. These three are in different levels. From a distant place you realize the Lord is Brahman. Right? Where it's like seeing the city from a distant place. So when you come closer, you'll realize Him as Paramatma. When you enter devotional service, you can see face to face as Supreme Lord. The other day we were giving this milk example, right? Milk, a glass of milk. If you approach the milk through your sense of eyes, you will see as a white substance. Through ears, you will hear about the milk. Through nose, you will get the fragrance of the milk. Through sense of touch, you will feel it is hot or cold. But if you put the milk in your mouth, you will be nourished. Similarly, if you approach the Lord with bhakti, then you will realize Him as personality of Godhead, and that is the complete realization, which includes the other realizations also. If that same Lord is approached through mental speculation, He is realized as Brahman. If that same Lord is approached through meditation, then He is realized as Paramatma. So in teachings of Lord Kapila, which we completed recently, you must have learnt all these things. So impersonal and personal realizations develop in proportion to the development of devotional service. So Dhruva is describing all the features of the Lord. He described the Lord's Purushavataras, Lord's creation. He described the superiority of Bhakti Yoga over other two yogas, Jnana and Karma. Karma by which attain heavenly planets, Jnana by which attain impersonal liberation. And Bhakti gives you the understanding of the personal qualities of the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj in the 10th verse and 9th verse, he was saying that it is 10th and 11th verses. So Bhakti Ananda is better than Swargananda and this Brahmananda. Right. So he mentioned that. He mentioned the glories of association of devotees. He mentioned the supreme form of the Lord. And he also mentioned the impersonal aspect of the Lord. He also compared the Lord's position with the living entity's position. So like that, Dhruva Maharaj very comprehensively described the constitutional position of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord might have said, I agree that you know my Swarupa. Though you have no material desire now, I will give what you desired earlier. Describing his... So Dhruva Maharaj was suspecting this. So Dhruva Maharaj was describing his ignorance. So he prayed for sweetness of bhakti, not all those material desires. And sweetness of bhakti and protection from such material desires. In the last verse, in his last prayer, please protect me, please maintain me. Satyasi shohi bhagavam stava prada padmam.
Satyasi shohi bhagavam stava prada padmam.
Ashishtathana bhajataha purushartha murtehe.
Ashishtathana bhajataha purushartha murtehe.
Appyeva marya bhagavan paripati dinan.
Appyeva marya bhagavan paripati dinan.
Vashreva vatsakam anugraha katarosman.
Vashreva vatsakam anugraha katarosman.
Satyasi shohi bhagavam stava padamat padmam. He says, my dear Lord, your Pada Padma, your lotus feet, are the highest attainable blessing. Satya Asisha. Asisha means blessing. Satya Asisha means the supreme truthful blessing is attaining Krishna's lotus feet. Bhagavan Stava Pada Padma. And this blessing of attaining your lotus feet will surpass all kinds of benedictions that are available in the entire cosmic manifestation. Attaining your lotus feet is the highest blessing. That's what we told in the 10th verse also. Yanirvritis tanubhritam tava pada padma dhyana bhava jana katha shravanena vasyat. Tava pada padma dhyana is the highest blessing. Because it will give highest bliss. What can give you highest bliss can be called highest blessing. Without bliss, a blessing cannot be called as blessing. Right? So the highest bliss is available in the service to Krishna's lotus feet. So next line he says, Asish tathanu bhajataha purushartha murtehe. Purushartha murti. Artha means purpose, goal. Purushartha means human goals. A human being will have certain goals.
And you are the bestower of all those goals. That's why you are called Purusharth Murti. So you are very form, you are the very form of human goals and are obtainable by those who worship you without material desire. Asish Tatha Anubhajataha Purusharth Murti. So again he is condemning material desires here. You can bestow all the human goals, but the best way of approaching you is approaching you without any material desires. So Purusharth Murti, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha you can give. But approaching you for them is not a very intelligent thing. One should approach you without that. Because Bhagavatam kicks out those four things right in the beginning only. Dharma, Prajita, Kaita, Vatra, Paramo, Nirmatsa, Ranam, Satam, Vedyam, Vastava, Matra, Vastu, Shivadam, Tapatra, Yon, Mulam. So Prajita Dharma, materially motivated Dharma, that Dharma which is directed towards getting Artha, and that Artha which helps you fulfill your Kama, and that frustration in Kama that leads you to impersonal Moksha, these are all rejected in the beginning of Bhagavatam. How can someone who has attained the realization of the Supreme Lord desire those things again? You are Purusharth Murti, but I don't want any of these four Purusharthas. Right? That is Dhrumara's realization after advancement in devotional service under the guidance of Narada Muni. Even he also says, Varan Vibhopad Varadeshwarad Buddha Katham Rinite Vanavikriyatmanam. Prithumara says, you are Varadeshwara, you are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. But I don't want the benediction of Nirjinyan impersonal effulgence. I don't want the benediction of Moksha. In the second verse also he reconfirms, Na kama enatha tadapyaham kuchin Na yatra yushma charanambu jasavaha. Na kama ye, I don't desire, natha, O Lord, tadapyaham kuchin, never I will desire. I don't want that kind of impersonal liberation desire. Na kama ye natha tadapyaham kuchin, because na yatra yushma charanambu jasavaha. There is no nectarian service at your lotus feet in that benediction. If you merge in impersonal effulgence with no activity, what kind of service you can do? Same thing he is saying. Tavapada padmam satyashisho bhagavam stavapada padmam asistathana bhajataha purushartha murtehe. So there he rejected kaivalya. You are kaivalya pati, I don't want kaivalya. Impersonal kaivalya. Because I want nectar from your lotus feet. Apyeva marya bhagavan paripati dinan. My dear Lord, consider me as a dina, a very fallen devotee. Varsheva vatsakam anugraha katarosman. Just like a vatsa means a calf is protected by a cow, similarly you protect me. You are like the cow, I am like the calf. When a calf approaches a cow, cow will not neglect that calf, cow will caress that calf and cow will give it all protection. Right? So cow licks the body of entire body of the calf as soon as the calf takes birth. Right? So similarly you should mercifully maintain me, maintain ignorant devotees like me who might approach you with some material desires. Please purify me of material desires. Please protect me from material desires. Please maintain me with your spiritual blessings. I don't want these four Purusharthas. I don't want this Kaivalya. I don't want a position superior to Brahma. I don't want anything. I just want the association of your devotees. Bhavatam prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam. That is his final desire. So Lord is very eager to give mercy. Why Dhruva Maharaj is giving this kind of comparison? Here Krishna is compared to cow, merciful maintainer, like a cow. Because when a cow maintains a calf, cow's eagerness to maintain the calf is more than calf's eagerness to be maintained by the cow. That means Krishna has more eagerness to protect the devotee than the devotee's eagerness to be protected by Krishna. So Krishna is so merciful. So that's why this kind of comparison is given. A cow gives milk to an ignorant calf and protects it from wild animals, even though the calf does not serve her. Similarly, the Lord lets even a wretched person, Dinan, who
worship him with material desires have a taste for sweetness of bhakti at his lotus feet. Oh, he worshipped me for material desires. I am more intelligent. I will give him the nectar of my lotus feet. I will fill his heart with spiritual emotions so that he can be nourished by that and forget all his material desires. So this is the way of approaching the Lord. One should consider oneself dina, very fallen, and depend on Krishna's mercy. I don't have the ability to take your shelter also. You only inspire that surrender in me. You only inspire that shelter-seeking tendency in me and maintain me. You are a merciful cow. So he says, Satyavratamani, 6th verse. 46th verse of Damodarashtakam.
Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyasit Dinam Batanu Grihanesha Mamagnam Ejakshi Drishyehi. Namo Deva, O Deva, Damodara, Ananta, Vishnu. The way of obtaining Krishna's mercy is chanting his holy names. That's why he is chanting holy names. O Deva, Damodara, Ananta, Vishnu, Prasida Prabho, please show your mercy upon me, Prabho. Prasida Prabho, Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam. So, Dukha is distress. Dukha Jala means network of distress. Dukha Jala Abdhi, an ocean of network of distresses. Magnam, I am immersed in that. So, Prasida, please protect me. Prasida Prabho, Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam, Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati. Please shower your merciful glances upon me. Kripa drishti vrishtyati dinam ati dinam batano. So earlier in the previous line he described his situation as someone who is immersed in an ocean of network of difficulties, and now again he says dina, I am very fallen. Just to add to his application, one more qualification from my side. Not only dukha jalabdhi magnam, I am ati dinam. Ati dinam batano. Kripa drishti vrishchasi dinam bhatano grihanesha mam agnam. Another qualification he adds in the application. Agnam. I am ignorant also. You may be in distress, but if you have a solution to come out of the distress, that's good. But because I am ignorant, I am agna, I have no solution also. I am dependent on you completely. Akshidrishtehi. So just by manifesting in my heart is not sufficient. You should stand in front of me, then I can come out of this. That is his prayer. Like the devotees very fervently offer prayers to the Lord and seeking his mercy. And Dhruvamaharaj repeatedly condemns his previous disposition of desiring some material benedictions and performing motivated devotional service. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Prabhupada quotes that verse. So devotional service has to be freed from any material motivations. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. If one's devotional service is unmotivated, devoid of any selfish agendas or personal desires or any other ulterior motives, and apratihata, no desire for breaks in bhakti. Every day I am chanting the same mantra, today I will take a break. Not that kind of interruptions. If when there are no interruptions, when there are no motivations, then such kind of performance of devotional service can completely satisfy the self. If you are not feeling that satisfaction within, we need to check. Do I have any ulterior motives in my performance of bhakti? Do I desire any interruptions? Am I not sufficiently inspired to continuously practice devotional service? Am I desiring some breaks? Or do I have some material motivations? We need to check. To the extent one is freed from selfish personal desires and motivations, to the extent one is freed from desire for breaks, to that extent bhakti can satisfy his self. And everybody is seeking that satisfaction. Like that. An adulterated devotee with motives can never see the Supreme Lord face to face. Dhruva therefore felt very grateful for the causeless mercy of the Lord.
Lord is so merciful. Because someone who has material desires cannot ordinarily see the Lord. But Dhruva was able to see the Lord. Why he was able to see the Lord? Because Lord is merciful. Not that Dhruva's intentions were pure, but Lord has become merciful upon Dhruva also, whose intentions were not pure. So Dhruva Maharaj was acknowledging that mercy of the Lord, and he is glorifying him, and he is expressing his great gratitude towards the Lord. However, Dhruva Maharaj has actually been purified of material motivations by his 6 months practice of devotional service. Because during these 6 months, he was not meditating on his material ambitions. He was only meditating on the form of the Lord. So he began with material ambitions, but when he started the process to fulfill the material ambitions, his meditation on the material ambitions was diverted towards meditation on the process of devotional service. So his abhidaya was pakka. His performance of the process was foolproof. So his initial sambandha, getting connection with Krishna, is materially motivated. And his knowledge, the sambandha gnan, whatever, the knowledge of Krishna that he received is also from a bona fide source, right? But the motivation is different in this case. But because his practice was so sincere, that sincerity attracted the grace of the Lord. He had some... He was so absorbed in the process. He is not even desiring for, I need to progress, I need to progress. That's not the point.
No,
he was so determined in his practice.
I'm saying, like, say, compared to normal souls, like many devotees as well, how did he find that much of, so was it every time he was so desiring and firm in approaching, he could have desired other things and he didn't desire anything else? Was it by his karma or was it by his sheer determination at every point that he went forward? How such a small boy, was it just because he was born that way, that he was born? Is it possible for others, like something like that?
So the possibility of, you have also been saying.
I have heard one place that Dhruva 6 months tapasya is remaining. Is it true, and then he completed his 6 months tapasya from the previous life, some Purana something?
I don't know. I didn't hear or read anything like that. It may be true also, I don't know. I personally don't know. But in this case, to my understanding, Dhruva Maharaj had a very strong material ambition, but his fortune was he received the guidance from his mother Suniti and later from a very elevated spiritual master Narad Muni. So his beginning was definitely materially motivated, but when he started doing the practice that is instructed to him by Narad Muni, he was so absorbed in the practice. He was so absorbed that he did not have time to think about anything else. He did not have time to take water also. Only once in 3 days he is taking. Once in 3 days he is taking fruits. After that once in 6 days he is taking water. Right? And finally once in 12 days he was taking air in. So he was so absorbed in the practice. So no time to check motivation, no time to think about anything else. When someone is just absorbed in completing the goal, so he is so absorbed in like that. Padam Shikhi Prabhu. Yeah, Shraddha and Swabhava. He has a very long analysis on these two. Yeah, that's wonderful. I don't know how that terminology finds a place in this context, but the very specific technical terminologies are there. His Swabhava, if you see, is determined. But Swabhava was very wonderfully docile in the practice of devotional service. That's what that comes to my mind. His Swabhava of being determined as a Kshatriya was very wonderfully and expertly docile by Narada Muni in devotional service. That is his great fortune. So he had impure motive, but he had sincere practice, right? So a devotee must be very sincere in devotional service. Then although there may be many things wrong on the devotee's part, Krishna will guide him and gradually elevate him to the highest position of devotional service. That's what Prabhupada says. So it's not a recommendation for impure motives. It is a glorification of sincere practice. Right? However, even if someone has impure motives in the beginning, there is hope for him. Impure motives are not disqualification for devotional service. Right? He can begin devotional service there also. But one should not consciously hold impure motives. Now, Bhagavatam presents different stories. Some episodes of extreme mercy and some episodes of extreme strictness also. He began with ulterior motives, our Dhruva Maharaj. And he was bestowed highest benediction. He was given darshan and he was given entrance into spiritual world. And even his material benediction was also fulfilled. So everything is done to him. On the other hand, Chitraketu gave one feedback to Shiva. He was cursed to become a demon. Bharat Maharaj got attached to one deer. He was made to enter an animal body. Right? And Putana approached Krishna to kill him. But she was given a position in the spiritual world. Right? And Chota Haridas. So he was begging some rice from an elderly lady. But he was abandoned by Lord Chaitanya. Right? So some episodes are of extreme strictness and some episodes are extreme mercy. Kala Krishna Das, he was distracted by that Bhattataris in the South India Yatra. So Mahaprabhu rejected him. Right? I am not responsible for this person. You do whatever you want. And Nityanand Prabhu and Jagdananda, Damodar, they just found some service for him and then engaged him somehow. So some personalities are dealt with extreme mercy and some personalities are dealt with extreme strictness. So how to reconcile both? So we have to, with my little understanding, we need to see them in proper context. Right? When Krishna descends in Vrindavan, he is extremely merciful. Merciful even to Putana also. Right? Although there is absolutely nothing that is glorious on her part, still she was given the position like a mother. So, when some devotee, how do we practically apply this while reconciling? When some devotee is undergoing some phase of say discouragement or depression, he is feeling very low spirits, or he is thinking, I am not doing much, I am not accomplishing much, I am not a very good devotee, like that. He can always mention to him, Krishna is so merciful to Putana also. You are not like Putana at least. So Krishna was merciful to Aghasura also. Certainly you are not like Aghasura. Krishna forgave Indra and Brahmaji also, although they created a lot of turmoil in Vrindavan. So, means that mercy cases can be utilized to encourage devotees who are going on a lower spirits in their practice. At the same time, when some devotee is too overconfident and proud of his accomplishment in devotional service and his eyes are looking towards the sky only, right, his dealings have become little arrogant, etc. Then you should tell him, Prabhu, Bhujanma kare yadi shravana kirtan, tabuna paibe Krishna premadhan. Right? So, Bhujanma kare yadi shravana kirtan. Now, on one hand, even if you chant one holy name, that can counteract all the sins that you can think of. Right? You can commit. You can possibly commit. So, Ajamil episode is there, extreme mercy case. He is indicating Narayana, his son, not even the original Narayana. He is standing at the time of death, not even at the time during the lifetime. He was chanting without faith, not even with faith. He was chanting with lot of sinful background, but still he is delivered. So that kind of encouraging examples may be given in the beginning and to someone who needs that kind of encouragement. On the other side, we can give the strict examples to someone who is lax in his practice, who is overconfident, who is proud, who is arrogant, who is developing, he is feeding his weeds, as His Grace Ravi Chandra was telling this morning, right, Japa talk. So, every pastime has its practical utility, and we need to apply that concept or the principle that is enacted in that pastime in the right context. Right? Someone who is arrogant already, someone is feeling that I am already special, you tell him Putana's example and all, he will become more arrogant. You tell him Chota Harigas and other strict cases. Right? And all these pastimes also have their human side and divine side also, that we can discuss later. But thing is, one should not be lax in one's practice considering the extreme mercy cases. Right? And one should not be depressed and become scared in this practice by seeing the extreme strict cases also. Right? So there are few extreme examples, and generally what is recommended is just to the best of your ability, to the best of your capacity, practice devotional service. Engage yourself in Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and whatever services are given to us by our spiritual authorities. Just do it with best sincerity possible, as much as humanly possible. You give your 100%. That's what is the general trend. That's what is generally recommended. So extreme examples are always there, and they have their place in one's application. Right? One cannot quote certain extreme mercy cases out of context. And one cannot scare people by quoting extreme strict cases also. Right? So, to encourage people, some examples we can use. To caution people, we can use some examples. But what is there in the middle is sincere practice to the best of one's ability. And always making an honest endeavor to increase one's capacity and increase and elevate one's mood and consciousness. Right? Consciously making an endeavor, consciously offering prayers. That's what is the balanced and approach. Does it make sense? Next. So impure motive is not a recommendation here. But even if you have impure motives, you can get Krishna's mercy. That is mentioned here. So one cannot take this example and then hold impure motives. One cannot take Ajamil's example, I can do whatever nonsense I want throughout my life, at the end I will chant Narayana. You remind me, right? At the end of my life, I kept on my desktop some wallpapers of Radha, Vrindavan and Chandra, just show me that. Seeing that, I will go to Goloka. So throughout the life, I will space out. So that's not the recommendation, that's not the message from Ajamil episode. Right? Even if he is chanting without faith, at the time of death, with a sinful background, indicating his sin, he got mercy. What will happen to you if you chant with faith, with a pure background, indicating the Lord directly? So what will happen to you? That's the inspiration that we need to take. That's how Sukadeva Goswami concludes that Ajamil episode also. Right? Mercy cases cannot be utilized to substantiate our immature and irregular practice or our lack of inclination, sufficient inclination to practice sincerely. Right. We cannot justify our shortcomings with these mercy examples. But if someone is too low in spirits and then he needs some encouragement, you can always quote mercy examples. Right? So Lord's mercy, what is merciful? Right? We cannot take undue advantage or exploit that merciful attitude of the Lord. Prabhupada also gives other balancing purpose also. So, accidentally committed mistakes by a devotee are forgiven and are burnt in the fire of repentance. So, Dhruva Maharaj had a material motivation. Then the next episode is about Dhruva Maharaj's regret. He laments for that. Then Prabhupada writes there that he says that if you hold material motivations in your practice, you will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj later. So basically material motivations are discouraged in this episode. But for someone whose tendency to come towards Krishna is material motivations only, still Dhruva Maharaj's episode can inspire him. But when he comes to here and then hears Bhagavat explanations of Dhruva Maharaj, then you know, arre, it's not worth having these material motivations. He realized that. Right? Like that. That's why there are some Falashrutis also in Bhagavatam that apparently give certain material benedictions also. They're not meant for devotees. Right? Seeing them, some people may get attracted, and once they get attracted, Krishna will purify them of material motivations. He's very smart. Krishna is very smart. He will fulfill the material benedictions of those people who approach him in such a way that they can't release that material benediction after receiving it, and they will develop taste for spiritual benediction. That is his smartness. So, Dhruva, being cognizant of his desire for material benefit, wanted protection from the Lord so that he might not be misled or deviated from the path of devotional service by material desires. Initially, he began with material desire. He ended up saying that I want to give up this material desire. So, Dhruva Maharaj prays for the sweetness of prema in this verse. And he could understand that these material desires are an obstacle in my bhakti. So next, that prayer section is completed. We will move to the next section, 18th verse. Someone read the 18th translation. We may not read all verses now.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, when Dhruva Maharaj, who had good intentions in his heart, finished his prayer, the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, who is very kind to his devotee and servants, congratulated him, speaking as follows."
So the Lord was very impressed with Dhruva and his honest prayers. He congratulated him and he spoke. His bhrutyanu rakta. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Vedaham te vyavasitam Hridi Rajanya Valakam Tatrayachami Bhadram te Durabam Apisuvratam.
Oh, God had said, "My dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and is very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment. All good fortune unto you."
Veda aham te vyavasitam. I understand. So many places you see the Lord, when the devotee expresses his desires or prayers, but then he says, "I know what you already are thinking about." So Lord is all knower. Hridi Rajanya Balaka, I know your heart. I know the desire within your heart. Tat prayachami bhadram te, I will definitely fulfill your desire. Bhadram te, may there be auspiciousness unto you. Durabam api suvrata, I will fulfill that desire although it is very difficult to be fulfilled. So Dhruva Maharaj's childish ambition was that he wants to sit in a position which is superior to even Brahmaji. So what is a position which is superior to Brahmaji's position? That is Krishna's position, or Krishna's abode basically. So Krishna will bestow his own abode to him. So the material opulence is not a disqualification for pure devotional service. Lord assured Dhruva that he would not be bereft of the Lord's love. He encouraged Dhruva not to be worried that he childishly had material desires. "Don't worry, don't worry. He is regretting so much about material desires. Don't worry, relax." So material opulence. Generally the Lord does not award a pure devotee material opulence, even though he may desire it. But in Dhruva's case, it's little different. Lord knew that he became such a great devotee that in spite of having material opulence, he would not be deviated from bhakti. When the Lord understands that if this devotee is given material opulence and still he will not be distracted from bhakti, he may give. That's what he did in Narada, Prahlad Maharaj's case, Pracheta's case. He told Prachetas, "You take whatever you want." They didn't ask for material benediction at all. They asked for association of devotees and hearing in the association. But the Lord said, "You can rule for thousands of years with full bodily strength, with full sensual strength, you can enjoy the kingdom." So like that he bestowed benediction on Prachetas, and Lord gave similar benediction to Prahlad Maharaj also. Prahlad never wanted to rule the world. What do you know? He should rule. For what time? One manmantra? Something of that period he gives. You rule for a long time. And on the other hand, Lord took away opulences from Bali Maharaj. Right. Whatever is good for a devotee, Krishna does it. He may bestow material opulence if he thinks that that will not be a distraction in his bhakti. Let him sit on the throne and then still perform bhakti. But if he thinks that, oh, if I give him material opulence, it may not be proper for him, so he takes away material opulence. Yasyaham anugrihanami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi. So basically, Lord thinks like a mother. He doesn't think like a businessman. So businessman, what does he do? Demigod. He performs so and so sacrifice for a certain purpose, and the demigod is obliged to give you. Just like you go to a shop, even if a small child also gives him 100 rupees, or give me so and so, whatever, pan or whatever is harmful, cigarette, he give me cigarette. So he just give. He just takes money and gives the product. But if in the shop father is sitting, he will not give cigarette, he will slap. Right? And he will take the money also. He will take the money and he will not give. Right? So that is father, that is Krishna. So that's what Krishna does. Vasyaham anugrihanami harishyeta dhanam shanaihi. That's what he did for Avanti Brahman also. Avanti Brahman is deprived of all opulences. And Prabhupada himself also applies this verse in his case. I am getting so many business failures. Maybe Vasyaham anugrihanami verse is working in my life. Let me take sannyas. Like that. So Dhruva Maharaj was regretting. That means there is a change in his aspirations. 6 months back, he was so ambitious. In 6 months, aspirations went away. Material aspirations. So, Sudama did not want opulence, but the Lord gave him opulence. Why? There is another reason. Sudama, although he is such a wonderful devotee, he has a slight tinge of pride that I have to be renounced. I don't need material opulence. So Krishna kind of removed that pride by bestowing material opulence. And Bali Maharaj had a slight pride that I am a very charitable person. I can just give whatever I want to people, whatever they need. So now Lord put him in a situation that he is not able to fulfill his own promise. He said, I will give you 3 steps of land. 3 steps, kya? Take whatever you want. I can give you property with which you can live for 10 lifetimes. Then the boy expanded as Trivikrama and then covered the entire universe within 2 steps only and says, you said, you will give me 3 steps. You gave me only 2 steps. You don't have sufficient bank balance. You gave me a check that bounced. Right? So I will arrest you now. Right? You don't have sufficient property and you are over-promising, under-delivering. What's going on? You just called Varuna Pasha. And then Varuna Pasha bound Bali Maharaj. Anrita Dosha. This is the fault of falsity. You gave a false promise. I arrest you for this. Then finally he says, put your 3rd hrishtap on my head. Then he puts him into Sutala planet. Right? So by depriving Bali Maharaj of wealth, Lord protected Krishna. Lord protected Bali Maharaj. By giving wealth to Sudama, Lord protected Sudama. And to some devotees he gave bestowed material opulence, to some devotees he took away material opulence. So Lord does the needful for the upliftment of the spiritual consciousness of his devotees. So now he says 21st verse.
Nanyairadhishtitam bhadram yabhrajishnu dhravakshitim yatra graharkshataranam jyotisham chakramahitam medhyam medhyam gochakravatsthasnu parastat kalpavasinam dharmognihi kashyapah shukro manayoye vanaukasaham charanti dakshini krityam brahmanto yat satarakaha
The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, "My dear Dhruva, I shall award you the glowing planet known as the Pole Star, which will continue to exist even after the dissolution at the end of the millennium. No one has ever ruled this planet, which is surrounded by all the solar systems, planets and stars. All the luminaries in the sky circumambulate this planet just as bulls tread around a central pole for the purpose of crushing grains. Keeping the pole star to the right, all the stars inhabited by the great sages like Dharma, Agni, Kashyapa and Shukra circumambulate this planet, which continues to exist even after the dissolution of all others."
So I will give you Dhruva Loka, pole star, that continues to exist after dissolution also, not ruled by anyone, etc., etc. He gives certain characteristics. More of the characteristics of this Dhruva Loka we can learn in the cosmology chapters. So only this much description is given in this context. We will not go beyond this. And if you see the creation chart, the whole cosmology, the vertical structure of the universe, there above Dhruva Loka are this Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Satyaloka is Brahma's Loka. And pole star is like four planetary systems below that. So how did he attain a position which is superior to Brahmaji? The answer is, Dhruva Loka is not geographically above Brahma Loka, but its position and its glory is superior to Brahma Loka. For example, a 10-story building may be there. In that, it's a school building, and first standard children are there in the first floor, and second standard to fourth standard are in the fourth floor. So like that, different floors are allocated. So principal may be in the ground floor, right? So that, does it mean the top floor in which, say, nursery kids are there, that becomes the best floor? Or a company, CEO may be staying in the first floor, and some clerks are staying in the 10th floor. Does it make 10th floor superior to 1st floor? So wherever the boss stays, that is the best best room, best floor. That is furnished very nicely, decorated very nicely, like that. So glory-wise, Dhruva Loka is the best. Geographically, Satyaloka may be on a higher plane. 22nd verse, read.
"After your father goes to the forest and awards you the rule of his kingdom, you will rule continuously the entire world for 36,000 years, and all your senses will continue to be as strong as they are now. You will never become old."
So you can rule your father's kingdom for 36,000 years. So Dhruva Maharaj had a desire earlier to sit on father's lap or father's throne. That is fulfilled. He wanted to be in a position superior to Brahma, that is also fulfilled. And he had some inimical feelings, or not to say, some contempt and some bitterness towards Suruchi and Uttama, who are the cause of his insult. So that will also be fulfilled in the next verse. Read 23.
"The Lord continued, sometime in the future your brother Uttama will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother, Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire."
So Uttama and Suruchi also will die. So the Supreme Lord is personally predicting their death. Prabhupada in this context describes the dangers of Vaishnava Pradha. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is the greatest offense in this world. Suruchi's death was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined to take revenge against her. So one should not insult a Vaishnava or anyone unnecessarily. And certainly Dhruva Maharaj is more spiritually advanced now than earlier. So better not to offend anyone. In future, if he becomes a great Vaishnava, then also he'll get reaction. Right? So it's an unknown offense. Suruchi insulted Dhruva, he was just a child. And I did not know that Dhruva Maharaj was a great recognized Vaishnava. And so her offense was committed unknowingly. But still, the reaction comes. Just like if someone commits renders a service to the Lord unknowingly, he will get benefit or not. Similarly, if one commits an offense also unknowingly, he has to get the punishment. So Prabhupada gives that logic. So when one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result also. So it's a caution note here. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Lord, and pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Pleasing a Vaishnava means pleasing the Supreme Lord also. Displeasing a Vaishnava means displeasing Krishna also. So one needs to see the harmony between the Lord and his devotees and give that kind of respect to both of them. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. And the Supreme Vaishnava in a devotee's life is a guru. He's a pure Vaishnava. He was innocent only, definitely. He did not speak a single word. At least there is no mention that he spoke anything. But still, he was sitting in a position which Dhruva Maharaj desired. Right? Dhruva Maharaj by default had, he had some kind of bitterness towards Uttama also. Right? And sometime later it comes that Uttama was also kind of indifferent towards Dhruva, something like that. Some mention is there, it's not very clearly mentioned. However, although a caution note is given here, and also it is very important and very relevant for our practice, this Vaishnava Vrat thing, but ultimately Uttama and Suruchi became favorable to Dhruva after he attained the darshan of the Lord. We will see in this chapter only towards the end, when Dhruva Maharaj comes back home, Suruchi embraces him, blesses him. My dear child, may you live long. So in the previous chapter she said, may you die and take birth in my womb. But now she says, may you live long, my dear child. So because she later developed appreciation and affection for Dhruva also, certainly there is Lord's blessing upon Suruchi also, and Uttama also. So sometimes, and definitely they also must have become devotees, right, taking inspiration from Dhruva. May not be as exalted as him, but definitely they became favorable towards a devotee. Right? So the disposition of Suruchi in 4th canto 9th chapter is not same as her disposition in 4th canto 8th chapter. There is definitely an improvement in her disposition and approach towards Dhruva. So we can conveniently understand that Suruchi is Suruchi is not so degraded like she was in the previous chapter. And that little advancement that she has made by appreciating and blessing Dhruva will definitely have a positive impact on her soul. She will definitely be spiritually uplifted. Now you see, in a devotee's example, devotee's life also, even an advanced devotee also may have to attend nature calls, may have to experience it in physical discomforts or diseases, and he may have to leave the body, his body also may become old, etc., etc. All this may happen. So as a matter of the convention in this world, an exalted devotee also may undergo certain reactions, but that does not minimize his devotional standard. Right, that does not minimize his spiritual advancement. So as a matter of the course, as a matter of this pastime, in the course of this pastime, Suruchi was entitled certain reaction for the mistake that he has done in the previous chapter, Suruchi or Uttama. But that does not mean their soul was deprived of love of Godhead. That does not mean their soul is degraded. That does not mean they will go to hell. Not like that. So that was a token reaction given to them. Anyone has to die on one day. And they died in this way, and the reason for their death happens to be insulting Dhruva. Right? And the Lord personally has ordained this also. But that does not mean they are so degraded. Because definitely their affection towards Dhruva, their friendship with Dhruva later will uplift their soul. Certainly. This is how His Holiness Radharaswami Maharaj explains in one Bhagavatam class several years back, maybe a decade back.
We went down. The Lord saw that anyway his brother and stepmother will die, and just informed Dhruva he will be pacified, or Lord created that karma for them. Means it's not karma, the Lord created a situation, or Lord saw by his vision that anyway this is going to happen to them, and I just informed Dhruva that don't worry, they will be animated what they have done. Or Lord make it happen for them. That's always a confusion.
Could be both. Lord is the cause of all causes. And Lord is the knower of everything. He is the knower of past, present and future. You decide.
No, there are two things. If it is not so,
is it
the
punishment given by the Lord,
or is due to
is it
such
an information given by the Lord?
Yeah, yeah, that's
it. Could be both. If it is a punishment, he wants to give a lesson to everyone. If you offend my devotee, this is what you need to get. If it is an information, Lord is all knower, all cognizant, a witness for that, right?
And because there's a difference between the two, that if there's a punishment, then it gives proof that just a little insult can lead to such big calamity.
Mm.
And if there's an information, that is for pacify Dhruva Maharaj.
No, it is definitely both, but you can see it from punishment perspective also. As I said, it is a punishment for someone who offends a Vaishnava, as Prabhupada is also very wonderfully highlighting in this episode. But there is the other side also. They are not deprived of Lord's mercy for whatever good feelings that they developed for Dhruva later. But the Lord is arranging this punishment in their life so that other people will get a message and get a caution note and they won't offend Vaishnavas later. Right? It's definitely a punishment arranged by the Lord, and we should not also think that they are deprived of Lord's mercy also.
So when Dhruva Maharaj becoming over angry upon Yakshas, so is it with the mixed feeling that because of me my brother has died?
We'll discuss in the afternoon or tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning mostly. So Yakshas episode has not yet come. We'll discuss very elaborately Dhruva Maharaj's anger, how is it justified, or all that we'll discuss very elaborately. Children also suffer. Okay, Suruchi committed sin and Uttama. As a principle, that is fine. When parents commit sin, parents' mistakes also will have a negative impact on the children, that is there. But, I mean, at least I didn't read or hear anything explained in that way in Suruchi's episode, Suruchi's case. Suruchi's mistake had a negative impact on Uttama, that at least I didn't read. It may be true, I don't know. But I didn't personally read it. But that is, you know, as in general that is true. In general that is true. The way children, the upbringing of the children and the attitude of the parents will definitely affect the children. As a general principle that is true. So in this case I didn't hear any such explanation. 24. And more details are not given. Bhagavatam doesn't give all the details. Bhagavatam gives the most vital principles for us to learn. And as far as storyline is concerned, so we can depend on other references also to fill in the blanks as far as storyline is concerned. So there could be more description about Uttama and Suruchi and Suniti's devotional service. Yesterday someone was asking me, what other devotional service that Suruchi has done? Why Suruchi is such a great devotee that she gave instruction to Dhruva Maharaj? Yeah. And here somehow Dhruva is the hero in this episode. Sukadeva Goswami highlights Dhruva, Sukadeva Goswami narrates this whole episode from Dhruva's perspective more. So other details of Uttanapada and all these are like on a low profile. So in Samadhur Puranas they must have been described in more detail. So we can definitely take details of past time from them. Right.
The crux seems to be what Suniti told Dhruva, that don't be envious of anyone.
Yeah, that is correct. Never be envious of anyone.
Because in, currently in this material
Then there are so many repercussions.
So many, because harsh words are coming very easily from the mouth. And so many repercussions can come. We take it very lightly, but after reading this, it makes extreme sense that we can't afford that at all.
Harsh speech is a manifestation of one's inner bitter feelings and envy.
So in that list also, harsh speech comes after death, means it's more subtler and more dangerous than death itself, is it?
I'm not sure.
Because it's a result of those two.
Yeah.
So it's more, it seems to be harsh speech is more dangerous.
Harsh speech comes before death only.
No, sorry, anger. After anger.
Okay. Yeah, when one is angry, then harsh speech will come, correct?
Harsh.
Well, good, there must be some chronology and hierarchy also in this. Good, you pointed that out.
Harsh speech.
Dambho darpa bhimanascha krodha parushyam evacha ajnanam cha bhijatasya partha sampadam asuri. First, dambha comes. Darpa, abhimana, krodha, parushya. Correct, krodha comes before this harsh speech, definitely. So that is in sequence. Bhagavad Gita verse, that divine and demonic quality, 16th chapter, right? Dambho darpo abhimanascha krodha parushyam evacha ajnanam cha abhijatasya ajnanam cha abhijatasya partha sampadam asurim. There is sampada, treasure of asuras.
So we are one step away from death in Kali Yuga, most of them. Harsh speech is very common.
Everybody. Okay. Next, 25th verse. Prabhupada writes, in Kali Yuga, great sacrifice is Sankirtan Yajna. Continuous chanting of Hare Krishna. Where does it come? We read 24th verse. 24th verse we need to read now.
Yeah.
Okay. The Lord continued, I read the verse also. Ishtvamam Yajna Hridayam.
Ishtvamam Yajna Hridayam.
Yajnaihi Pushkala Dakshinaihi.
Yajnaihi Pushkala
Dakshinaihi. Bhuktvache Hasishaha. Satyam
Bhuktvache Hasisam Satyam
Antemam Samsmarishyasi.
The Lord continued, I am the heart of all sacrifices. You will be able to perform many great sacrifices and also give great charities. In this way you will be able to enjoy the blessings of material happiness in this life, and at the time of your death you will be able to remember me.
Ishtvamam Yajna Hridayam. So I am the heart of sacrifices. That's why Lord is called Yajna Hridayam. So the Lord awarded him Dhruvaloka. The Lord awarded him 36,000 of rulership in this world. And the Lord also kind of fulfilled his quote unquote revengeful attitude towards Uttama and Suruchi. And he also said what all he is going to do in future. Sacrifices and enjoyment and remembrance at the time of death, all that Lord predicted already. Right? Antemam samsmarishyasi. You will be able to remember me at the time of departure from this world also. Pushkala dakshinehi yajna hridayam. You will conduct sacrifices, you will also give great amounts of charity. All that the Lord predicted. So Prabhupada writes here about sacrifice and charity. And if one's life is filled with such sacrifice and charity, for us sacrifice is Sankirtan Yajna. Charity is distributing holy name. Right? So all our things are like centered around devotional service. So then Ante Narayana Smriti is possible. The result of whatever we do in executing spiritual activities is successful if we can remember Narayana at the time of death. That is Antya Narayana Smritihi. So ISKCON is designed to teach people the exact institution, instruction of the Lord. Next,
24 verse. Prabhupada is saying that great sacrifice is the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. So the Sankirtan refers to individual japa or collective kirtan?
It is collective. No?
So that is more effective than individual.
Yeah, it's mentioned like that. But still, one has to chant to them 16 rounds.
No, that is not to undermine that in terms of effectiveness.
Sankirtan is like one should come together and chant, and there is power in that association. Right. And of course, definitely chanting on beads with prescribed number of rounds, counting is also recommended by Goswamis, and Lord Chaitanya himself also did. So both are needed. And Sankirtan as a group activity, that is specially recommended. Right. Okay. Effectiveness, both are definitely effective. But you get inspiration to do one from the other also. Like that. Especially Sankirtan inspires you for personal japa also. That way. And Sankirtan is most effective because Kali Yuga people can not do anything else. Right? So, the 11th canto. Why chanting of the holy names is especially glorified in the context of Kali Yuga? Because the previous Yuga people are very powerful. They are intellectually strong, mentally strong, physically strong. Their lifespan is so much, they can live for 1 lakh years or 10,000 years or whatever, so many years, 1,000 years, like that. So they cannot give so much of importance to the process of chanting holy names as the process of deliverance, because their capacity is so much. They can think that I can memorize a mantra of 100 pages just by hearing once. And you are telling me one mantra that has only 16 words, only 3 names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama, that's all. It's too simple. So these people think that this process is too simple to liberate me. I need something very challenging to me, which can engage me nicely. I can do 60,000 years of meditation. I can do a sacrifice one year sacrifice I can do. Right, I can do deity worship with all best paraphernalia possible. So their capacity is so much that they think that it is below their dignity to take shelter of these holy names as a process of deliverance. But Kali Yuga people have no capacity to do all of that. So they take shelter of the holy names either in personal japa or sankirtan or a combination of both, and they can take it with more desperateness. They know no other means for deliverance. Right.
What is offered in the yagya? Mm-hmm. But now no yagyas are happening, and I say Sankirtan yagya is the yagya. Mm-hmm. So by Sankirtan yagya, it's easy to understand Lord is satisfied. But how do the demigods eat their havishyan by sacrifice of
Sankirtan? You know this verse, no?
But the demigods also have separatist mentality. Like Indra, while offering the food, when Krishna did, he is thinking that I am the enjoyer of the food. So if demigods are pure devotees, then only they will be nourished. When they are happy in Krishna's happiness. But when that's not the case, then how they will be nourished?
So how demigods are nourished in Kali Yuga? That's the question.
Yeah, because they don't get yagya bhuk, the yagya avishyan.
Kali, when he was tormenting Dhara and Dharma, so the one question that was asked by Dharma, Bull, to Dhara, Earth, was, are you lamenting because no sacrifices are conducted in Kali Yuga? So, are you lamenting because demigods are deprived of sacrificial offerings? That's the nature of Kali Yuga. But Yajanti hi Sumedhasaha. So intelligent people perform the Sankirtan Yajna. Other sacrifices may or may not happen, or may improperly happen, or occasionally happen, or less frequently happen, or eventually they may be forgotten also. But Kali Yuga sacrifices do not happen generally. And intelligent people do Sankirtana Yajna. Like that. 25th verse.
Personality of Godhead continued. My dear Dhruva, after your material life in this body, you will go to my planet, which is always offered obeisances by the residents of all other planetary systems. It is situated above the planets of the 7 rishis, and having gone there, you will never have to come back again to this material world.
So the Lord is predicting that he, Dhruva, will go to the abode of Vishnu. The Dhruva Loka and Vishnu Loka both are same. Yad gatva nanivartante tad dharma paramam mama. So upon it there is an ocean of milk, and within that ocean there is an island called Sweta Dvipa. And Dhruva Loka, like other Vaikuntha Lokas, is beyond the universe, remains eternal and not destroyed. So apparently Dhruva Loka is there in this world, but the universal devastation doesn't affect it. It's as eternal as a Vaikuntha Loka. That is its position. And then saying this, the Lord Vishnu returns to his abode. Please read 26th verse.
The great sage Maitreya said, after being worshipped and honored by the boy Dhruva Maharaj, and after offering him his abode, Lord Vishnu on the back of Garuda returned to his abode as Dhruva Maharaj looked on.
So the Lord left and Dhruva Maharaj was watching him. So Dhruva Maharaj attained Vaikuntha. There are some references. Now 4th canto 9th chapter, this 28th verse is a reference that will come little later. 25th verse is a reference. And 12th chapter also, Dhruva Maharaj attained the supreme abode of Vishnu. So what is that position which is superior to Brahmaji's position? A position in the Lord's abode, Supreme Lord's abode directly, Vishnu's abode. That's what Dhruva Maharaj attained. It's initially it began as a material ambition, but ultimately that is a spiritual ambition. He's attaining a position superior to Brahma means he's attaining a position with Vishnu. Then 27th verse.
Sopi sankalpajam Vishnoha padasevo pasaditam prapya sankalpa nirvanam nati prito bhagatpuram. Sopi sankalpajam Vishnoha. Here Dhruva Maharaj attained whatever he desired. Sankalpa. Sankalpa means with a determined effort you desire something, you endeavor to get it. So sankalpajam Vishnoho. Sankalpaja means that which is born out of his sankalpa. That is whatever the Lord has offered him. Right? So the desired result he attained. But and one more thing, padasevopasaditam, he also obtained it by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. By honest means he attained, and the desired result he attained. He did not, by hook or crook, he did not get it. So he did not get, for example, a student may get 100 out of 100 marks at the end of his semester. So he got 100 out of 100, and by honest means, not by putting some slips or copying from somewhere, he did not by cheating. Honestly, he got his desired result. Prapya sankalpa nirvanam, even after getting the result of his sankalpa, even after satisfying his determination, still na ati prito abhyagatpuram. Nati prito, he was not satisfied. He was not happy with this whole, at the end of this whole experience. That shows that if one has material desires, that cannot give them satisfaction. Despite getting so many other things, the very glitch that is there within his heart, that I had some material motivations, that cannot give some happiness. Even when a sadhaka devotee also, when he has some shortcomings or he is unable to overcome certain struggles or some previous bad habits or whatever, although so many people are glorifying him for whatever service he has done, if some bad impression is tormenting him, or if he has done that service in a certain way, or if he had certain ulterior motives, he cannot be completely satisfied. Other people are blissful. But he cannot derive that satisfaction if he has ulterior motives. But if he begins that service with pure motive, and if he renders that service with full sincerity and seriousness and without cutting any corners, that will nourish him. Even if he does not get the desired result completely, honest efforts will nourish a person. Because service to Krishna and service to Guru in itself has the ability to satisfy the self. So the very fact that one is engaging in Krishna's service and Guru's service will nourish such a person. whether the accomplishment is so great or not. Attitude is more important than magnitude of the effort. If the magnitude of the effort may be so great, magnificent, but if the attitude is poor, then one cannot get the nourishment and satisfaction. But if the attitude is pure, even if the magnitude is not so great, still there is nourishment, there is satisfaction, there is happiness, there is bliss. Right? So Dhruva Maharaj definitely accomplished something that no one has accomplished in the entire universe so far. That too at his age. And that too within such a short time, 5-year-old boy, 6 months practice, done. He is destined to go to Vaikuntha, he is destined to rule the world for 36,000 years. So, and Lord Vishnu's darshan he got. It's an unimaginable accomplishment. Sudushkaram karma krutva lokaparai api prabhu. Narada Muni said, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most difficult thing, and this boy will definitely accomplish it. Despite accomplishing so much, his heart was not satisfied. That is what the Lord does. When someone approaches him with material desires, Lord may either fulfill the desires or not fulfill the desires, but he will definitely make that devotee regret for his material desires and give up those material desires. Like that, that inspiration is coming from the Lord if that devotee performs devotional service nicely. So Dhruva Maharaj developed this honest regretful feeling because of his sincere practice of devotional service. A sincere performance of bhakti will throw away anything objectionable in one's heart. The objectionable thing in Dhruva Maharaj's heart was his previous material desires. So he is regretting for it. He's just trying to throw away, wipe it off. He already wiped it. But the very fact that I had it once is also very painful to him. Like that. So when sun is glowing, darkness cannot stay around. Right? Like that. So Dhruva Maharaj was totally ashamed, humiliated, embarrassed, felt so awkward for his disposition earlier. So because of my childish nature, I demanded something from him. So there is no demand from the Lord in pure devotional service, but my devotional service wasn't pure. I had certain demand. He was regretting like that. So when Dhruva Maharaj was not pleased, Nati Prito, suddenly Vidura got it out. This whole narration is being told by Maitreya to Vidura. Now we will go to the outer loop. Vidura asked the question. Sudurlabham yat paramam padam harer maya vinastha charanarchan arjitam labdhapya siddhartham avaika janmana katham swamatmanam amanyayarthavit. Sudurlabham yat paramam padam harer. He attained the paramam padam, the supreme position of padam hare, of the Lord. Sudurlabham is extremely difficult to attain such a position. But he got it. And maya vinastha charanarchana arjitam. Charana archana arjitam. Arjitam means acquiring. Arjan means you acquire it. How did he acquire? Charana archana, by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, he acquired such a position. Labdhva api asiddhartham ivaika janmana. So such a position is not easily attainable, even in one life. So katham svam atmanam amanyata arthavit, amanyata arthavit. Why he was not very pleased, although he is a person who is accomplished, who fulfills his desired goals, still he is not satisfied. What is the reason? He asked. Arthavit means one who knows how to discriminate between reality and unreality. Arthavit is also called Paramahamsa, who accepts only the active principle of everything, just as a swan accepts only milk. So if one does not know the value of a highest thing, one may be
he may not be able to appreciate it. For example, a small child is there, you give him 2000 rupee note in his hand. A small baby, hardly 1 year old. It's what he does. He'll just do it like this and then put it in his mouth also, he may do anything. He doesn't know the value. But Dhruva Maharaj is not like that. He was getting what? Sujarlabham yat paramam padam hare. He is in a position in which he can appreciate the glory of the benediction that he received. It's not that he doesn't understand the value of the benediction that he received. It's despite understanding the value of the benediction that he received, still he is dissatisfied. So for someone, a poor man is there, if you give him the 2000 rupees note, who is struggling to fill his belly, he will be ecstatic. Oh, with this I can take my meals for the next several days, whole month. Mess charges will be taken care. I am struggling to eat food. So like that he will think. But a small boy cannot understand it. A small child, infant, baby cannot understand the value of 2000 rupee note. But all this, Dhruva Maharaj was a small child. He was bestowed with the conclusion of all shastras and he is in a position to appreciate the benediction that he received. But why he has to be so morose? Why he has to be dissatisfied? So that was his question. No, Maitreya Muni is answering this question.
Matuh sapatnya vagbanir
vidividhastutansmaran
naichan muktipater muktim tasmattapam upeyivan.
Maitreya answered, Dhruva Maharaj's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of the harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved, and thus when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget her misbehavior. He did not demand actual liberation from this material world, but at the end of his devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind.
So Dhruva Maharaj felt remorse. He was remembering his past aspirations. Matuh sapatnya vagbanir. Mata sapatni, co-wife. His mother's co-wife is Suruchi. Vagbanir. Her words were like bana, arrows that pierced his heart. Hridi vidhastu tansmaran. His heart was pierced and he is constantly remembering those sharp words.
Naichan muktipater muktim tasman tapam upeyivan.
Naichan. So he felt totally unqualified to accept mukti. He met Muktipati, he got the association of Muktipati, but he felt unqualified to accept mukti. The Lord awarded him only the material benediction. Only means one of the benediction that he gave is 36,000 years you can rule here. Right. So he did not immediately get to go to spiritual world. Immediately. Only after 36,000 years you can come. The Lord said like that. So he was intensely shameful, regretful. He felt humble and disgusted and he started speaking to himself. So when the Lord said that he would fulfill his material desires and also punish his stepmother, Dhruva became ashamed. So Dhruva had no issues of going back to, going to spiritual world. That is okay with him. But he is becoming king in this world and also the death of his stepmother and brother. So that made him very ashamed because of my remorseful feelings towards them, my anger or revengeful attitude towards them, they have to die. So Vaishnava's heart becomes very soft by practice of devotional service. He does not want to inflict any pain on anyone else. He does not want to be the cause for anyone else's suffering. Right? That's why even Mrigari Hunter, he could not tolerate the fact that ants might be pressed under his feet. So he is slowly trying to remove the ants, crawling ants from the pathway. So Vaishnava does not want to cause any trouble to anyone.
now it is very clear and obvious that because of Dhruvamara's earlier revengeful attitude towards Suruchi and Uttama, they are destined to die now. So he felt very bad. Because of me, all this has happened. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj also felt. After the whole battlefield, Yudhishthira Maharaj felt that because of me, so much a massacre has happened. Prabhupada writes that 64 crore soldiers died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All this is to enthrone Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling so bad because of me. Then finally, Bhishma consoled him. Like that. So, why Dhruvamaharaj, why didn't he think of mukti? Dhruvamaharaj was influenced by a revengeful attitude and he did not think of mukti. But pure devotee doesn't want liberation. He is a soul completely surrendered unto the Lord and he does not demand anything from the Lord. So, this is a very long purport Prabhupada writes here. So, the nature of the material desires in the material world versus pure devotee's desires. That is, in the material world, once material desires are almost demoniac, thinks others as enemies, thinks of revenge, and aspires to become topmost leader in the material world and compete with others. All these attitudes were present in Dhruvamaharaj in the beginning. Right? Thinks others as enemies. He was seeing Suruchi and Uttama as enemies. Thinks of revenge. He wanted to take revenge against them. He aspires to become topmost leader in the material world. I want to be the top one, I want to become Prime Minister, I want to become the Chief Minister. So he has that attitude. And compete. He wanted to compete with Uttama. Why is he sitting on the place which I want to sit? So all these attitudes were there in Dhruva in the beginning. But when he became a pure devotee, he has given up all of that. He has no more demands from the Lord. Only concern of a pure devotee is to serve the Lord. So Dhruva attained Vasudeva platform. The stage at which material contamination is conspicuous by its absence. No question of modes. Therefore, he was able to see the Lord. The special favor of the Lord towards a devotee is he fulfills all the desires of his devotee. Although Dhruva's motive was impure, the Lord did not consider the motive. He is concerned with the service. Oh, he has done such great service. But if a devotee has a particular motive, Lord directly or indirectly knows it and therefore he does not leave devotee's material desires unfulfilled. And as we discussed earlier also, Lord will fulfill even material desires of a devotee also sometimes, but he fulfills them in such a way that the devotee does not relish that material enjoyment. Right? So, and also in connection to Muktipati word, Prabhupada says, Vaishnavas do not accept Sahajya as a mukti. Real mukti is transferal to loving service to the Lord from one's position of serving Maya. Now I am Maya's servant, I will become Krishna's servant. That is mukti. That is the real definition. Desire for sense gratification are dominating material nature. So Dhruva wanted an exalted position better than his great grandfather's. This is not a service to the Lord. That is service to senses. Basically, he had sense gratificatory desires. Even if one gets a position of Brahma, still he is a conditioned soul only. Right? So, any elevated position in the entire cosmic manifestation is not worth accepting by a devotee. But, despite this whole background, there is a transformation in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj. After the darshan of the Lord. He was considering what he was desiring for earlier as broken pieces of glass. I can get diamonds from the Lord, but I was desiring broken pieces of glass. That doesn't come in Bhagavatam. That is come from some other reference. That means Dhruva Maharaj's episode is described in some other reference and you can get more details from there also. So, he was ashamed. The cause of his moroseness is that I got to do devotional service in Madhuvan, such a wonderful dham. I got spiritual master like Narada Muni. Still, I was thinking of revenge against my stepmother. I wanted to occupy an exalted post within this material world. So no revengeful attitude nor any aspiration to lord over this material nature
will satisfy the soul. So Lord, a devotee doesn't want to imbibe such kind of aspirations, right? Hold such kind of aspirations. So Dhruva Maharaj is realizing that, now he is regretful. So all the desires of Dhruva Maharaj were fulfilled, his revenge was fulfilled, his exalted position in the world is fulfilled, and his eternal position in Dhruva Loka is also fixed. So, and while Dhruva Maharaj was given this eternal planet of Vaikuntha Loka, although he did not desire for it, so Krishna thought, what will Dhruva do with an exalted position in his material world? That is his motherly side. He just gave what Dhruva needs, what is beneficial for Dhruva. Although he gave some things which Dhruva may not be so excited with, just because he has previous desires, the Lord gave him. So, material benedictions are like broken pieces of glass. They look attractive. Broken pieces of glass also are shining so much, very wonderful. If you touch them, there is bleeding of your hand. But they are harmful for the person. So, now we can just slightly compare the characters of Dhruva and Daksha. In the 6th canto, 4th chapter, Daksha performs austerities and he chants Hamsaguhya prayers and he attains the darshan of the Lord and he performs austerities for 3 manvantaras. Then the Lord will give him a benediction that you desire to increase the population of the universe, you can take this benediction, and inspired by my Maya, you will procreate so many children and your children also will create so much of population, and thus you will increase the numbers of living entities within this universe. So Lord gave that benediction to Daksha. However, both had material desires only, but in one sense Daksha's desire is better compared to Dhruva's desire, and both perform a devotional service only, and both attained darshan of the Lord, both attained the fulfillment of their material desires also, but still Dhruva happens to be much superior to Daksha. What is the difference? Dhruva Maharaj performed devotional service under the guidance of a pure Vaishnava like Narada Muni and Suniti, and Dhruva Maharaj did not have any background of offending another Vaishnava. He was offended, but he did not offend him. But Daksha, he had a material desire, but he had a background of offending Lord Shiva in his previous life. It's a very grave offense. For example, stepping on the shadow of a Vaishnava is also offense. But will you stop circumambulating Tulsi Maharani every day in the morning? Right? So, like, some are like innocent mistakes committed, circumstantial or unintentional. Like some are like very simple things that could be neglected. For example, you just touching one's feet to another Vaishnava is wrong. But by mistake, if one's foot touches another Vaishnava, immediately just touch his body and then do it, and that offense is nullified. That's fine. But intentionally insulting a Vaishnava, politically trying to pull him down, trying to defame him, holding such deep malicious and envious thoughts towards him and intentions towards him, and disrespect him very gravely, grossly, in front of so many people, that's very grave offense that Daksha did towards Lord Shiva. So those traces of offense deprived him of the Lord's real mercy. Although he got the darshan of the Lord, Chakravartipada writes, Daksha was thrown into whirlpool of karma, he was not given the bliss of prema. But Dhruva was given. Right? So one may get the darshan of the Lord, but something is there more than the opportunity to get the darshan of the Lord. That is to love Lord, to love Krishna, to get friendship of his devotees. All that were given to Dhruva and not Daksha, because Daksha had an inimical attitude towards Shiva earlier, and
because of that previous offense, he committed offense to another Vaishnava, Narada Muni. When we come to 6th and 5th chapter, we can elaborate it more. Okay, next, 30th verse. Dhruva Maharaj's lamentation, we will decide. Dhruva Uvacha Samadhina Naika Bhave Nayat Padam Vidusananda Daya Urdharetasaha Masairaham Shadhiramushya Padayoham Chayam Upetya Pavataha Prathanmatihi.
Dhruva Maharaj taught to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great brahmacharis headed by Sanandana, who practiced Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months I achieved the same result, yet due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I fell down from my position.
So samadhina neka bhavena yutpadam. So Dhruva Maharaj is saying that I have attained the rarest benediction, the share of the lotus feet of the Lord, just in 6 months. Masair aham shadhir amushya padayoh. Just in 6 months, 6 masas, I got it in. And even great personality like Kumaras, that is Sanandanadya, Urdharetasaha, they are pure Naishtika Brahmacharis. Such great Kumaras also could not attain after many births. But I attained it. But I fell from that position due to having other desires. Prathaka Matihi. Because of my separatist mentality, or because of my innocent or ignorant, childish benedictions, I fell down. So Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting. Dhruva Maharaj expected that as soon as he met the Lord will take him to his abode immediately without waiting. But Lord told him, you stay here for 36,000 years. After that you can come to me. So Dhruva Maharaj felt that because I had certain material desires, that's why Lord told me to stay here. There is 36,000 years delay. I mean, in those days people used to live for 1 lakh years. So Dhruva Maharaj greatly lamented his propensity for ruling the world and his revengeful attitude. Ahobada mamanatmyam mandabhagyasya pasyata bhavachidaha padamulam gatrayache yadantavat. Aho bata mama anatmyam. Oh, just look at me. Pashyata means just look at me. Manda bhagyasya, I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Lord, padamulam of the Lord, which is bhavachidaha, that can immediately cut the chain of reputation of birth and death. Still, out of foolishness, I pray for that which is perishable. Gatva yache yad antavat. Antavat means there is an anta. One's tenure in the post of a king in this world, he certainly has an end. That has an end. So anatya. Anatya means without any conception of soul. I could not think on the spiritual platform. I was so engrossed in the material platform, desiring material benedictions. That will only lead to one's defeat. Unless a human comes to the point of understanding Atma or spiritual position, whatever he does in ignorance is ignorance, and this brings only defeat in life. What is that verse? Parabhavastavadabodhayato yavanna jignasata atmatattvam. If one does not have understanding of Atma Tattva, one is not inquisitive to know about Atma Tattva, yavanna jignasata Atma Tattvam, then parabhava. That's only parabhava. Parabhava means defeat, humiliation, embarrassment in the hands of Maya. One has to focus on Atma. Harimvina namritim taranti. It is said that without the blessings of Hari, no one can stop the continuous birth and death chain in this material world. That's why the Lord is called Bhavachida. Bhavachida means he can cut the knots of material existence.
So Vaishnava philosophy prohibits a devotee all kinds of material aspirations. Anya abhilashita sunyam ahaituki. What is that verse? Saveda dhatum padavim parasya duranta viryasya rathanga panihi yo amayaya santataya anuvrittya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. So one can understand the Lord if one performs devotional service unto Him with amayaya, without any reservations, santataya, constantly, without any interruptions, anuvrittya, with a favorable intent, favorable attitude, not unfavorable attitude or material desires. So when that is there, one cannot, when such motivations are there, one cannot be satisfied within. So Dhruva Maharaj is regretting that although he was initiated in the Vishnu Mantra by a Vaishnava, he still had material benefits. He still aspired for material benefits. So every one of us who is engaged in devotional service should be completely free from material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva, he says, Krishna, Prabhupada says. 32nd verse.
Since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada.
So Dhruva Maharaj is saying that demigods dissipated my intelligence. Actually Narada Muni was giving me all good instructions. I could not take them. I could not accept those instructions. So, in general, demigods are afraid of losing their posts as predominating deities of heavenly planets. Dhruva is blaming the demigods apparently because demigods are the controllers of different limbs of our bodies. So, factually, we are able to move our eyelids, our hands, our intelligence is functioning and all this is happening because everything is controlled by certain demigods. So the deity of mind is moon god. So like the different people are there. So he is saying that there is a conspiracy. These demigods being envious of his superior position in devotional service, they conspired against him to pollute his intelligence. And thus, although he was the disciple of great Narada Muni, he could not accept Narada Muni's valid instructions. One need not take this literally. So Dhruva Maharaj is not actually blaming the demigods or making them responsible for what has happened to him. He is simply stating the facts that once bodily movements or intelligence is controlled by demigods, so I think I am little misdirected by them. So like that. So one need not take these things very literally. That's the explanation I generally hear. Right. Next. Daivim mayam upashritya prasupta iva bhinnadrit tapye dvitiye pyasati bhratru bhratra vyahridruja.
Dhrumaj lamented, I was under the influence of the illusory energy. Being ignorant of the actual facts, I was sleeping on her lap. Under a vision of duality, I saw my brother as my enemy, and falsely I lamented within my heart, thinking, they are my enemies.
Daivim mayam upashritya, I have taken shelter of maya, of the Lord, external energy of the Lord, illusory energy of the Lord. Prasupta eva bhinnadruk, prasupta eva means as if I am sleeping in her lap. Tapye dityepi asati, bhratru bhratravya hridruja. So I saw my brother as an enemy under the vision of duality because of dvitiya, because of this duality. I saw my brother as an enemy and I lamented
thinking that these are my enemies. Real knowledge is revealed to a devotee only when he comes to the right conclusion about life by the grace of Lord. So no one is enemy. So this understanding Prahlada Maharaj immediately had. When he was at the age of 5, he had this. So Shanda and Navarka were questioning Prahlada Maharaj. You seem to be having a different intelligence than other people. Some enemies are coming and spoiling your mind or what? Some people are coming in disguise to train you in Vaishnavism or what? Into our school or into our college. So he was questioned like that by Shanda and Navarka. Then Shanda and Navarka, then Prahlada Maharaj said, looks like you have a different intelligence than the default intelligence that a living entity is supposed to have. I don't see anyone as enemy or friend. Everybody is a part and parcel of Krishna. So thus, everybody is meant to be loved. Nobody is meant to be seen as an enemy. So I don't see anyone as enemies. So like that he says. But Dhruva Maharaj could see these people as enemies 6 months back. Now he is alright. By the mercy of the Lord. So by practice of devotional service, when one is advancing, he will not see anyone as enemies. Right? So we need to understand that whether the process is, whether I am taking the process nicely or not. Like one way of checking is to test ourselves. Am I seeing someone as my enemy? Or am I able to see everyone connected to Krishna, serving Krishna in various capacities? Am I unnecessarily becoming envious of anyone? So that one need to check. To the extent one is non-envious, to that extent he can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Bhagavatam is understood by non-envious people. To the extent there is envy, to that extent Bhagavatam doesn't reveal itself to the reader. Like that. So, creation of these friends and enemies in this material world is like a dream at night. In the dream, there are impressions in subconscious mind, and the mind creates so many unreal and temporary objects. So in the same way, although apparently we are awake in material life, because we have no information of the soul and super soul, we are as good as dreaming only. And in the dreamy situation, we may create friends and enemies, simply out of imagination. No one is our enemy. That's only an imagination. Due to the contamination of modes, we distinguish one spiritual spark from another. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavihastini. We are basically one, either materially or spiritually, we are all one. Materially speaking, the bodies are made of earth, water, fire, and ether. So everybody's body is made like that. Everybody is same. Spiritually speaking, everybody is a soul, part and parcel of Krishna. On spiritual plane also everybody is same. But the specific impressions that are covering the soul are different. But the specific combination of the material elements that form this body are different. The complexion may be different, the size may be different, and the kapha vata pitta balancing may be different. But the basic ingredients are same. Right? So in that sense, everybody is one. So Dhruva therefore said, Daivi Maya Upashritya. I have taken shelter of this material energy of the Lord. That's why I have become like this. 34th verse. Mayaita Parthitam Prarthitam Vyartham.
Mayaita Parthitam Vyartham.
Chikitse Vagata Yushi.
Chikitse Vagata Yushi.
Prasadya Jagadatmanam.
Prasadya Jagadatmanam.
Tapasa Dushprasadhanam.
Tapasa Dushprasadhanam.
Bhavachidam Ayacheham.
Bhavachidam Ayacheham.
Bhavam Bhagya Vivarjitaham.
Bhavam Bhagya
Vivarjitaham. It is very difficult to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in my case, although I have satisfied the Super Soul of the whole universe, I have prayed only for useless things. My activities were exactly like treatment given to a person who is already dead. Just see how unfortunate I am, for in spite of meeting the Supreme Lord who can cut one's link with birth and death, I have prayed for the same conditions again.
So, Prabhupada narrates one story. There is an old woman who is trying to collect firewood.
and she will collect firewood from the forest and then carry that huge load of wood on her head and bring it to her home for cooking and other things. So one day that load of wood just fell down. She is praying to God, "Oh God, please help me. This wood fell down." And God came there and said, "What do you want?" She said, "Take this and put it on my head." So Prabhupada narrates this story. See, God came, she could have asked liberation. She could have asked the God to take her along with him. But she didn't ask. She was asking to put the load on her head. So Saint Dhruva is also feeling like that. Lord can cut down all the conditions, all the bondages, but I ask for more bondage, more material entanglement in this life. I pray for mere useless things. So having pleased the Lord, Jagadatmanam, who is difficult to please, Dushprasadanam, I prayed for material enjoyment devoid of fortune. That is the reason for his regret. 35th verse. Swarajyam yachato maudhyan manome bhikshato bata Ishvarakshina punyena Falikaran ivadhanah.
Because of my state of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, although the Lord offered me His personal service, I wanted material name, fame and prosperity. My case is just like that of the poor man who, when he satisfied a great emperor who wanted to give him anything he might ask, out of ignorance asked only a few broken grains of husked rice.
Broken grains are not considered very great food. So in Telugu they call it nokal. You know, some people, Telugu people are here. So they are like broken grains which are actually taken by very poor people who cannot afford to have basmati rice or very long grains, full grains. Right? So he went to king and I am asking for broken grains. Broken grains. That's too foolish on my part. He is regretting like that. So Swarajyam Yachato Maudhyan. Swarajya means complete independence. What is real independence? The real independence of a living entity is to remain always dependent on the Lord. One who is dependent on Krishna is the most independent personality in the universe. So Vishnudutas are described to be the most independent people in Ajamil episode. So real dependence of the living entity is to always remain dependent on the Supreme Lord. Just like a child who plays in complete independence guided by his parents who watch over him. So Prabhupada writes, fight or surrender. Independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight with obstacles offered by Maya, but to surrender unto Krishna. Struggle for existence, which involves fight, is not independence. So independence is depend on Krishna's service and surrender to him, and there is no need to fight only. There is no need to struggle only for existence. So Prabhupada concludes, anyone who is engaged in loving service of the Lord should never ask for material prosperity from Lord. The awarding of material prosperity simply depends on stringent rules and regulations of external energy, and pure devotees ask the Lord only for privilege of serving Him. This is our real independence. If you want anything else, that is a sign of misfortune. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.